Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you as we conclude our study of Luke chapter 20, covering verses 39 to 47 in this message titled, Beware of the Scribes. The conclusion of this two-part message, along with more than 3,000 30-minute Bible studies and other free materials, as well as our contact and donation information, can all be found at our website, bbfohio.com. And now we begin our study in Luke chapter 20, verses 39 to 47, titled, Beware of the Scribes. This is part one of two.
Our current events update. Number one, we need to be reminded that we have it very good in this country. Every once in a while, we need to be reminded of that, even though things are getting rough. Christians are killed globally, but little is being said outside of Christian sources, and sadly, little is said within Christian sources, really. But just want to show you some things that happened recently. Dozens more Christians killed in Benue State, Nigeria. Continuing attacks earlier this month, which was about a month ago. And we get the news about these things usually 2 or 3 weeks at least after they happen. But in Nigeria, suspected Fulani herdsmen and other terrorists killed dozens of Christians on Friday, September 23rd, as well on Wednesday, September 21st. The terrorists attacked six predominantly Christian villages in Benue State's Togo County, destroying lives, houses, and farms, and looting homes for food, area residents said. Now, even on this Christian site, you had to read 14 paragraphs before you were told that those herdsmen were Muslim.
Wow.
Now, not all Muslims are killers, and we're trying to be very clear that it takes a special kind of Muslim to be a danger, and that means somebody who takes Islam seriously. Then they're a danger. Anyone who follows Muhammad's example, he was a killer. Jesus didn't kill anybody. Follow Jesus, you won't kill anybody. Amen. Follow Muhammad and his example, you kill people. And so give these guys credit. They're living out their, Christians talking about how, I find it hard to live it out. Imagine trying to live out Muhammad's example. You'd have to be a killer. And that's why the serious, hardcore Muslims teach that if you kill in the name of Allah, then if you're a man, you got 70 virgins with all the wine you can drink waiting on you. Because it's a man-made religion. It's a satanic religion. It's a religion of the flesh. And so they promise those of the flesh rewards of the flesh in order to motivate them to do what they do. There's another example. Young woman in eastern Uganda killed after accepting Christ. This young lady in her early 20s, I believe. Young lady in her 20s accepted Christ, and it cost her her life. And again, among serious Muslims, that's what they'll do. They're called honor killings if you leave the religion or if you marry outside of the religion. Habiba, who lived with her Muslim stepmother after her parents were killed in a vehicle accident three years ago, she returned home from the church service with her friend. And her stepmother asked why she had returned so late. Habiba told her she had attended a church service and converted to Christianity. So, long story short, then her mother goes and prepares them food and puts poison in it. She ate it. Her friend was fasting, so she didn't eat it. And so, within minutes, Habiba started complaining of severe stomach pain, began to vomit. The friend shouted for her stepmother, but she just ran off, left her there to die. They rushed Habiba to a hospital in Bagiri, where a doctor gave her medication, but she soon died. They post-mortem determined she had died from ingesting rat poison. And she was left behind a three-year-old child. The father is a married Muslim. He's got his own wife and family, and then he impregnated her and wanted to make her his second wife. But it's not just Islamists killing Christians. So again, in India, India is primarily Hindu, but they have a lot of Muslims there too. But in India, Hindu relatives are suspected of killing a Christian there in India. Christians in eastern India suspect a church member's Hindu family killed him last month for refusing to renounce his faith in Christ. So it's not just Christians being killed by Muslims and Hindus. And what I mean, my inflection needs to be correct. It's not just that there are Christians being killed by Muslims and Hindus, because there are Christians killed by other professing Christians. There are Christians killed by atheists. There are Muslims killed by Christians. This is about Muslims and Hindus killing people because they are Christian. And that's the point. So don't miss that. Hostility toward Christians will continue until the rapture. We repeatedly tell you that if you have the idea that the pre-trib rapture means you don't suffer, you've got the totally wrong idea about the rapture. The rapture keeps you from suffering the vials, seals, vials, and trumpets, judgments, 21, seven of each, the three woes, and many other things that are going to come upon this earth in that book of Revelation, from Revelation 6 through 19. The rapture does not protect you from being murdered or martyred, as we call it, as a Christian. It's been happening for 2,000 years. It's happening right now around the world. 1 Peter 3:14 and 15 says, But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. None of us want to die. We don't, wake up in the morning and say, it's a wonderful day to die. I mean, did somebody here wake up like that? Okay. I didn't wake up that way. It'd be a wonderful day to be raptured. I say that a lot. Wonderful day to go to heaven, which means the rapture, hopefully, and not being shot in the head. But the point is, what if it comes down to it? All of us should be already in a state of mind where we have laid down our lives for Christ, that we are willing to die for Christ. But I think most of us, and I'm including myself in this, most of us most of the time are a little too attached to this world. Yeah. And so that's what will get you in trouble if the time comes to suffer for the Lord. If you're too attached to this world, you won't want to let it go. Remember Lot's wife. Amen? Yeah. Number two, last week I mentioned the tyrannical laws. The fact is, more than likely, we're all doing something illegal because there's no way to keep up with all the laws. Now, pushback began with the Trump appointments to the Supreme Court of the United States. And this happened in 2018. U.S. Supreme Court upholds landowners' property rights against government overreach. Just to show you an example of the kind of things going on, the Supreme Court did give victory to private property rights when they ruled unanimously in the case of Weyerhaeuser and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It's pretty bad when you go so far left that all the leftists on the Supreme Court disagree with you. The justices determined the government overstepped its authority by declaring 1,500 acres of private land in Louisiana as a critical habitat for a frog that questionably can't even survive there. Think about how much it would cost to buy 1,500 acres, and to then you own that acreage, In certain places, that'd be millions of dollars. And then the government says, don't touch it. Don't do anything with it. There's a frog out there somewhere, and we're afraid you'll kill it. That's the insanity of the left. But listen, it's not just because they're crazy. It's Marxism. They want to take control of everything. That's what it's about. We hear that and we think, what a bunch of lunatics. Well, it's not. If that were the case, they are just lunatics. But they're worse than lunatics. They're criminals. The Marxists are criminals. Marxists, by their very ideology, believe that what belongs to you belongs to me. That's theft. So get it in your head. When you're dealing with the left, you're dealing with a bunch of criminals. I was surprised no one even said anything about the fact that last week I called Joe Biden a crook. I thought at least one person might complain. It went on the radio, went out on the internet. I just guess it's so obvious that no one would complain. But it's not just, I'm not picking on Joe Biden, a poor old man who needs to be in a nursing home. I'm picking on the left, the entire left of this country. Amen. They're godless, baby-killing, sodomite-enabling crooks, thieves, liars. Amen. We had better wake up. We're surrounded by this criminal, political, religious cult. Because one of these days, if you befriend them, you get too close to them, one of these days, they will turn you in. So I'm being your best friend here, warning you what's to come. The pushback continues thanks to Trump's SCOTUS appointments. This just happened. 300,000 criminal regulations. But look what it says. 300,000 plus. Do you know all those? How do you know you're not violating one of them if you don't know them all? That's how a communist government works. They put so many laws on the books that you can't be actually obeying them all. Do you think the guy with the frog on his land knew he was violating the law when he did something with his land? He didn't know that. What do you... You say, oh, I'm pretty sure. Well, don't be too sure. The fact is, most of us are just under the radar. It just takes them to see you doing something they don't like, and they say, oh, I'm going to take her down. I'm going to take him down. And then they start investigating. They find out how to take you down. This report from CBN News says, oftentimes ordinary citizens find themselves fighting against the weight of the federal government for things they couldn't have imagined would land them in trouble. That's precisely what happened to Andy Johnson after he built a stock pond on his Wyoming ranch. He got approval from his local government. He got approval from his state government. But he forgot to ask permission from MASA at the EPA. And for that mistake, he faced $20 million in fines for a stock pond on his own property. And if it weren't for Trump-appointed judges, he would have been fined, and there are prison penalties for those who can't pay the fine. The EPA has come in and threatened to take everything we owned, he said. Now all you got to do is put yourself in his shoes and you'll start to wake up to what I'm saying if you haven't already. Put yourself in his shoes, you'll stop being apathetic. Put yourself in his shoes, you'll stop thinking that this is about politics, because it's not about politics. It's about Satan and his attempt to take over your property and turn you into a slave before the rapture. That's what it's about. And as I said, it wasn't just millions that were on the line. Quote, almost every environmental statute includes criminal provisions, so you could go to jail and face criminal fines for things that most of us take for granted on our own property, like moving dirt from one place to another. End quote. That's Jonathan Wood, an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. Listen to this. I took this out of that article. Quote, in fact, There are so many government regulations concerning every aspect of American life that recent efforts to count them have failed. End quote. They can't even count them. That's why it said 300,000 plus. It might be 400,000. It might be 500,000. When you put a plus on the end, that means the sky's the limit. We know there's at least 300,000 laws. Are you obeying every one of those? I am submitting to you that just because you're not feeling like you're in a prison camp doesn't mean that you're not. We are already under Marxist government. It's only a matter of when are they going to start cracking down. So you can make a choice. You can go along with it and let them just start cracking down, or you can stand up against it. You can speak out against it. You can pray against it. You can vote against it. You can rebuke your idiot friends and family who are going along with it. Amen. You know, I'm just telling you this because I know that if the rapture goes on much longer, I'm going to see some of you in jail. Yeah. Or you're going to see me go to jail. I'll go first.
Probably.
But I don't want anybody to look and say, well, why didn't you warn us about this, preacher? Mm-hmm. Because most of your friends and family, one of the reasons why they're ignorant is because, number one, they're lazy. But number two is because they attend a Laodicean lukewarm church where this stuff isn't told them. It isn't taught to them. And so what do you do? Well, God's called you to stand in the gap. God's called us to stand in the gap. And when we know we got friends, and especially friends and family we believe are saved, we need to have a heart-to-heart with them. Well, they'll think I'm crazy. Good. They either go along with the truth or they ought to think you're crazy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 20, 39 to 47. Beware of the scribes. As you turn in there, first the Pharisees were challenging Jesus. Then the Sadducees challenged. Both went down with a left hook. And now Jesus faces the scribes. Interesting how this works out. beginning in verse 39. Go ahead and jump right in that verse and read the odd verses with me. Then certain of the scribes answering said, Master, thou hast well said. And after that they durst not ask him any question at all. And he said unto them, How say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son? Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. Amen?
Amen.
So we pick up in verse 39, then certain of the scribes answering said. Now, we're just giving you a basic definition for each of these groups. The Pharisees were not fair, you see. Why? Because they actually did not apply the law fairly. They themselves didn't live up to the law and made the law of no effect by their traditions. So the Pharisees were not fair, you see, and the Sadducees were sad, you see, because they didn't believe the Bible. They did not believe in the resurrection. That would make me very sad. Paul, as we read, he said, you know, we are of all men most miserable if Christ be not risen. If there's no resurrection, we're all wasting our time.
Yep.
So then he can come down to this group of scribes. And the scribes, we would basically label them as basically what we'd think of as kind of like the college professor type. The people who are really into the books. They would actually make copies of the scripture, but they did more than that. And they would squabble over points and that sort of thing. When what we call scholars, if you hear people, I have had friends in the past, preachers I knew, they would always think it was making their point when they would say, now scholars say. And one of those fellows with the Lord now is Chuck Missler, and Chuck has some good stuff in his studies, but he would constantly refer to scholars. And I just always wished he'd stop doing that, because I have found that most scholars are just like the scribes in the Bible. They're not somebody to follow. It's scholars who have given us apostasy. It's the scribes, the scholars in the Bible who helped lead people away from Christ. It's the scholars who tell you that instead of using the tried and true Bible that we've always used, the King James in English came around 1611, but the manuscripts and the Masoretic Hebrew text and the received text in the Greek New Testament, all the Bibles before the King James in 1611 that were used by Bible believers were from those texts. It was scholars who came along following behind Westcott and Hort in 1881, who told us that we should use a new Bible from the Codex Vaticanus, the Vatican. And all the new versions, your NIV, your ESV, your Christian Standard Bible, etc., all come from the Vatican Codex. And where it has holes in it, they fill it in with the Sinaiticus and Alexandrinus, who are also manuscripts from the Alexandrian Egypt type and not from the Byzantine Western type that all of our Bibles up to the King James Bible came from. That's what's happened under scholarship. And the proof is in the pudding. Since 1881, the professing Church of Christ has become a big joke. Under scholars.
Amen.
And most Christians don't know what to believe, because you can go on Bible Gateway and compare 150 different translations, and if you want, in 50 different languages. So you can find anything you want. And you know what you'll be if you do that? You'll be a mess. And you know what the church, the professing Church of Christ in America is today? A mess. And if you don't think that it all stems from the foundation, you don't know anything about buildings. When your foundation is cracked, you're cracked. And that's what's happening to the profession. I know the real church, the body of Christ, the saved, is some of those people are saved. I'm not saying they're not saved. But the body of Christ is not in a building or denomination. It has a foundation which no other man can lay but Christ Jesus. He is the living Word. He is infallible, and His book is infallible. So you got His book, you've got an infallible book. Now, you have people come along all the time and say, well, I think this or I think that. Well, I don't care what you think. I think the King James Bible could be better here, or this, I think, is an error. Well, you can't prove it.